Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
To Delhi Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from. Thank you very much. And across the nation, National Talk Black live here from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bunbury Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You're yarning with the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. All right, going to start the show off with Murrow Law. Thank you very much. We have Michaela French on the line, my sister. Very good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm well, thanks. How are you going?
I'm very good. Thank you for coming to the program, my sister. Now, there's a new law in place regarding signing documents in a pandemic thanks to COVID-19. Queensland new electronic signing and witnessing regulation. So give us a bit of intro to the new law there, sister.
Yeah, so with the social distancing restrictions and the government closures currently in place, anyone who is trying to make a deed or make a will or amend their will or get a mortgage would have experienced difficulties trying to find the documents and get a witness to look at the document as well. So to provide relief to individuals and companies during this COVID-19 pandemic, the Queensland government has passed the Justice Legislation COVID-19 Emergency Response, Wills and Enduring Documents Amendment Regulation for 2020. So this regulation will be in force until the 31st of December this year.
Okay, so why is a new regulation important?
Yeah, so what the new regulation does is that it allows a signatory and a witness to sign or witness certain documents by audio-visual links, so, for example, Zoom or FaceTime or Skype or Microsoft Teams.
Is there types of documents that will apply to the new laws as such?
Yeah, so the types of documents that will apply are deeds, mortgages, general powers of attorney, wills, affidavits, and also some statutory declarations.
All right, and can you tell us how virtual signing and witnessing works?
Yeah, no worries. So for affidavits, declarations, and wills, those can be signed electronically and witnessed via video link. So the requirement is that the witness must be a special witness. So this means a person who is an Australian legal practitioner, so a lawyer, a justice of the peace, notary public, or a commissioners for declaration. So once you've got your special witness, you'll be on the video call, and the person signing the document will need to have a paper version of the document in front of them. And so then they need to show the witness on the camera that they're signing the pages of the document.
Okay.
Yeah, and so they also need to do this freely and willingly, so there can't be someone next to them
with
pressuring
a gun at the head.
Them. Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Yeah, it's all legit. What happens after the document is witnessed as such, Michaela?
Yeah, so once the document has been signed and witnessed, the witness must receive either the original signed document or the scanned copy of the document from the person signing.
Okay.
So then the witness will need to sign each page once they receive that document themselves. In addition to this as well, they need to provide a certificate that confirms that the document was signed and witnessed as per this new regulation, the date the document was signed and witnessed, and the steps that the witness took to identify who the person signing was.
Okay, right, yeah. And what are the new rules for signing a deed?
Yep, so a deed is a special type of promise or commitment to do something. So, for example, a deed could be a confidentiality deed, a financial guarantee, or a letter of credit. So for these types of documents, the new regulation allows the deed to be signed electronically, so you don't need to have it like a signed bit of pen on paper. And also the deed can be signed without a witness, so you wouldn't need to have a witness for certain types of deeds. If you're a company as well, you won't need a company seal to sign the deed, and you can also sign in counterpart. So this means that you can print all the signing pages and give it to everyone that needs to sign that document and just collate it.
All right, and what about mortgages?
Yep, so under the new regulations, the mortgages can also be signed electronically. There are some exceptions, so this will apply if the mortgage is lodged through PEXA or the mortgagee holds a mortgage in writing on the same terms and conditions as the one that has been lodged. So that will apply if the mortgage is going to be electronic.
All right, so for a lot of people who haven't got the legal brains as much, as like hogwash is all over the place, where can I go for more information, sister?
Yeah, sure. So if you require some assistance in understanding this new regulation or you're unsure about these requirements for having your documents signed and witnessed, please contact us on 4041 3088 for assistance. And also as well, you could contact the Queensland Law Society on 1300 367 757.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, a different world we're living in thanks to COVID-19, and even when we come out of it, the way of business can change in more ways than one.
Yep. Definitely has been changing.
Lovely, Michaela. Let the mob know, who is Murrawa Law?
So Murrawa Law is the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm that specialises in commercial and Indigenous land law.
All right, and how do they contact you guys?
Yeah, so our contact is 4041 3088, or you can jump onto our website, murrawalaw.com.au, to check us out.
Check us out. Represent, Michaela. Thank you very much for sharing. Look, all the best to you.
Okay.
And big shout out to your team there. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Trev.
Bye, Michaela.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there, Michaela French, Murrawa Law, and a deadly sister working with the deadly firm there, Murrawa Law, based in Cairns and Brisbane. And fantastic, and big shout out to Leah Cameron, the director, deadly black woman, and deadly lawyer she is as well, solicitor and director of the organisation. Have your say, you mob, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416, number of National Talk Black, a voice for our people. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. So have your say, yarn up strong, you mob too deadly. Yeah, Two Daily Bullfrog Holes, name of that Daily Tractor, the Pigram Brothers, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarn up with yours truly, Trevor Tim Trendy Trev Murray from Recurry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM and Bubba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So have your saying, yarn up strong. All right, Two Deadly now hot on the heels of their 30th consecutive number one release, No Breaks. The Wolf Brothers are back with another killer single, Anybody, Anybody Ever. Panned with the two-time Grammy-nominated James T. Slater, Tim McGraw, Willie Nelson, Carrie Underwood, the second single under global recording deal with BMG from their yet-to-be-released fifth studio album, Anybody Ever, is a vibrant retro track that will have fans sing along. We can catch up a yarn now with Tom Wolfe from the Wolfe Brothers on the line. Tom, good morning. How are you?
Good, mate. How you doing? You well?
I'm fantastic, brother. Where are you based, Tom?
Mate, we're down at Tassie. So,
down at Tassie, yep.
Probably the other end of the country where you are.
But, exactly, far north Queensland here. The borders are open up there for you guys, eh?
They just opened up.
Yes.
Now, that's nice. I mean, look, don't get me wrong, it's been really good, the time at home, but I am sort of ready to get back to work and do some gigs and all of that sort of stuff, mate. But it has been good to have some family time.
Yeah, fantastic. And using the time productively, being with family, I say we can always make money, but you never buy back time. So, yeah, very important commodity there. Let's talk about this deadly new album, Anybody Ever. So give us a bit of background and how it came about, brother.
Yeah. Look, it's probably the most different thing we've released so far. We've been locked down, mate, so we haven't been gigging. So we've been recording, we've been songwriting, and we've sort of been pushing ourselves and our sound and just pushing ourselves creatively. So this is the second single coming off the fifth album, which we're going to put out in 2021. And, mate, we've been busy. We're not ones to sort of sit around and do nothing. So we've actually done, we've probably written, probably wrote about 40 songs in the last few months. And we've decided to record, we're going to do a double album. So this next album is going to be a double album, about 20 songs. So, yeah, right. That's exciting.
Fantastic. Exciting, now, you got your brother with you as well, hence the Wolf Brothers, yep?
Yeah. We grew up down here. We're fourth-generation raspberry farmers, of all things. So we,
okay.
We live down here about 20 minutes south of Hobart, up here in the mountains. And beautiful country, mate. It's gorgeous. It's a little cold, probably a little bit cold for Queenslanders, but it's pretty good.
So how to start out for you and your brother? Were you always, play guitar when you were younger instead of kicking a football? Yeah. I'll paint that picture, brother.
Yeah, we did, actually. We played a lot of guitar. It was interesting. Our dad was a musician, so we were always sort of playing and working on music with dad and you know, getting to go to his sound checks and stuff like that. So we were always surrounded by it. And it was, it was sort of that love got into us very early. And it's something we've just always wanted to do. So, very lucky to call it our job.
Yes.
Yeah, very lucky to call it our job and do this for a living.
So where do you sit in the family? Brother older than you or younger?
Brother's older, yeah.
So always respect the eldest. You're the boss, is that right? Because he's not here yarning with us, that's why.
That's exactly right, mate. Don't worry about that.
So tell us about the song Anybody Ever.
Yeah, look, man, it's a really fun one for us. It's different. We really pushed our sound and wrote this with James T. Slater, as you said, and James has written hits for Tim McGraw and a bunch of people. And honestly, mate, it's pretty 80s. It's pretty 80s.
Yep.
I think we got lost in the decades there somewhere, but it's really fun. It's going to be a ball to play live, and so far, mate, people seem to be really, really enjoying it.
Good, fantastic. Well, about to play the track now, so look, thank you very much for the chat, for the yarn. Good luck with it all, my brother. Keep in touch, and if you're up this way in Cairns, drop and see us at the station. I'd love to be chatting with you, having a cup of tea with your brother.
Mate, would love that. Thanks for the chat, and looking forward to the time we can get back on the road, get back up there and play for everybody, and we love it up there. Good people, good country, we love it.
Beautiful. Tom, you take care. All the best, brother.
Thanks, mate. Thank you.
Bye, mate. Two Deadly Beautiful Yarn there. That's Tom Wolfe from the Wolfe Brothers. And look, have a listen to his Deadly, him and his brother's Deadly new song, Anybody Ever, with their Deadly single. And got an album coming out very soon, the Wolfe Brothers. Anybody Ever.
I know your favorite color, your favorite restaurant. When you hear Tiny dancing, you always sing along.
You're crazy, I'm tequila. You love your Tim McGraw. You know I know you and I love it all. I guess you're looking for forever, just like everybody ever. But nobody never held you for that long. But I think we're onto something, so I'm in all or nothing. Cause girl, I never felt something so strong. I've seen you dance it up, I've seen you turn it on, I've seen you get it so right, I've seen you get it wrong. I know you in your silence, and good for what it's worth. I hear you, you don't have to say your word. I guess you're looking for forever, just like everybody ever, but nobody never held you for that long. But I think we're onto something, so I'm in all or nothing. Cause girl, I never felt something so strong.
Bye. this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
Here to Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Traveller Mike here, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bumbi Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So that daily number, 1-800-422-416, have your say. Now, a number of leading commentators have taken aim at the NRL for backflipping on their decision to scrap the national anthem from the State of Origin, with Scott Morrison also under fire for his role in the reinstatement. So barely 2 hours after the decision was announced to axe the anthem from the pre-match ceremony at Origin, Australian Rugby League chairperson Peter Vlandis bowed to public backlash and reinstated it. So, look, give us your thoughts on that. So, in regarding, do you think it's a good idea to have the national anthem played at State of Origin, or you feel that they should respect First Nation people? Give us a call. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, you can text through and give us your thoughts here on the quiet and shy side of things, 045-714-0550, or our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Now, speaking of sports and the world that we're living in at the moment, thanks to COVID-19, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Associate Professor Con Stavos, RMIT sports marketing expert, commenting on the future of sports post COVID-19. Sports may no longer be playing the important social function that it has in the past, and the future looks uncertain, at least for the time being. Sports itself is fractured or bruised, isn't fractured or bruised. It's scarred, is the statement made by Associate Professor Con Stavros, and got him on the line now. Associate Professor Con, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. You're based down in Melbourne, aren't you?
I am. So we've had a bit of a different world down here, Trevor. I appreciate the coronavirus has impacted people very, very harshly in many different places, but we've been in lockdown for a long, long period of time with really no access to sport directly other than what we've seen on our television screens. So no community sport, no chance for our kids to run around and kick a ball. And, of course, the elite sports that we love, particularly here in Victoria, well...
Well, Queensland claimed the AFL Grand Final, first time ever.
Yeah, up your way, although there's a big distance between Cairns and Brisbane, I know.
Sure.
But and two Melbourne teams, of course, since the first time since 2011, Trevor, and of course we couldn't watch it at the MCG.
Yeah. Now, your statement here, because of COVID-19, that sport isn't fractured or bruised, but it's scarred. So just paint the picture. It looks a different world we'll live in forever and a day until COVID-19 is passed, the vaccine comes to the table, eh?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit of time away, particularly for sport that needs to plan. So for many sports, they need to get organised. So for the elite sporting level, you need to have athletes moving around the world, which is very difficult to do at the moment. So we wait and see what the Australian Open Tennis Tournament will be like in a few months. The cricket tests against India coming up, what they will be like. Of course, the Grand Prix early next year, which didn't happen in Melbourne this year, which in some ways sort of signalled the impact of the coronavirus on sport, but also, Trevor, at the community level, just allowing people to play sport with the freedom and the joy that we're so happy to normally see, and for families to congregate and to.
It's a social tool, isn't it? A very powerful tool.
It's a powerful tool in all parts and all communities, I think, around Australia. And that's the bit that's probably hit me hardest, Trevor, in that, you know, the elite sports, they've taken a real hit this year. And, you know, and even our major sports have had to let a lot of people go. But it's at the community sport where it becomes really challenging, because not only is it difficult for the families to get together and have that social and cultural influence, I now start to worry about whether there will be sponsors for community sport, because companies, of course... in many cases, often give to community sport in altruistic ways, out of a sense of goodness.
Yes.
And perhaps now that they're battling really tough bottom lines, they might not be able to do that as much.
So it leaves uncharted waters that we're about to travel in regard to sports. So when you look at sports personalities as such, well, their wages could be dropping as well as professional sports person. Would that be the case?
Yeah, there's the potential all around the world, particularly as events get cancelled and the media starts to look at it a little bit differently too, Trevor. And I think one of the things that I've learnt this year, which really surprised me, was I thought people would really miss sport, elite sport and professional sport. But we've seen when sport started to come back, the ratings haven't always been as great as we would expect. And I think a lot of us have missed the routine of sport. You know, we like, as I'm a Melburnian, so I'm used to, you know, Friday night AFL football. And
we're creatures of habit, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. We are very much, and sport is habit. It's training for families, it's gathering together, it's watching games. And when teams move into a bubble and play in a different state at different times, that takes away that habit, and we don't get as much engaged in sport. And everyone's different. Some people might have engaged with it more, but I've not engaged, and I'm a sport fanatic. Mm. I've not engaged with it anywhere near as much this year because I've had other things to worry about and events that I just couldn't.
Well, your focus goes elsewhere, doesn't it? And you are what you focus on.
Yeah, very much. And as I said, it's often a family routine or a social routine.
Yes.
It's, you know, meeting the mates for a drink and to watch the game, or for the family to go along and watch the kids play, or whatever it might be. That's been disrupted. And I said, no more than anywhere else in Victoria this year. We've had particular challenges, but I really think it's been felt right across the country. And you know, we haven't got to the stage where we've got internal borders down yet, Trevor. So that impacts upon the way, you know, athletes can move around, how sponsors want to, you know, make sense of their investments. But as I said, it's the community level that worries me the most, because I think, you know, if kids aren't running around and playing sport, it's bad for them physically and mentally. It takes away something that's really, really valuable, and governments really have to prioritise that right across our country. Get kids back, and their parents and families, get them back on the sporting fields, having the fun and the joy that we normally see.
Yeah, and at the elite level, when you look at the NRL and the AFL and the hierarchies and how they navigated through COVID-19, applaud them and to have this in place, to have the grand finals and have the games played throughout the season to create that entertainment for the sports fans. They did well.
Yeah. They did really well. I got to say, you got to hand it to the NRL, as you mentioned, and the AFL. There was a time there when it looked like nothing would happen. And in truth, you know, the NRL were real leaders in this space. So Peter Vlandis and the people running those organisations, they really pushed ahead. They really had a vision. And Gil McLachlan and the AFL, amazing when you think that, you know, we've got so many teams, you know, 9 teams here in Victoria that had to go and play elsewhere. How they've put that together. They would have all last weekend breathe a big sigh of relief, I think, when the season came down. The challenge, Trevor, though, is what's 2021 going to look like? Because, you know, there's no guarantee that things are going to get any better.
And if sponsors aren't at the table, then that makes it hard too.
Yeah, and so the sponsors, and particularly the media, who put in the most money into sport, they're now asking for some money back, and we've seen that. They're saying, yeah, your product's not the same. It's not not what we signed up for.
Exactly.
And so we want to look at some changes. So cricket is going through that process at the moment with its television broadcaster trying to come to some kind of arrangement. And keep in mind, Trevor, all this money trickles down to the community, trickles down to our families, because the money made at the elite level goes to sort of run the community sport that we
spills
participate
out,
in as well.
Exactly. In regard to sports and the games going ahead at the elite level, then you look at the other side of the coin where people have been isolated or lost loved ones. Why can sports go ahead when people are locked down? You know, like that creates a negative connotation, yep?
It does, yeah. It's interesting. I mean, we had this situation here in Melbourne where the government wanted to allow owners and people connected to horse racing to go to the Cox Plate, a big race here in Melbourne, and then had to change their mind a couple of hours later because people were saying, well, how do 500 people get to go to a horse race but only 10 people get to go to a funeral, example? So there's been some unusual decisions. I think sport signals a little bit of normality to people.
I think it's what we're starving for too.
It is, and I think here in Victoria, they're talking of having 25,000 people at the Boxing Day test, and if you can do that, if you can actually get people back into stadiums, we will start to feel a little bit normal. So, and sport has got that healing power. It has got the ability to unite us all together, and it was great to see the fans, you know, cheering in Brisbane and Sydney last weekend. Something that we don't have here in Melbourne, as I've said before. But it's good to see that sense of normalcy come together, because you know, the public has just been scared.
Yeah, exactly.
And sport can hopefully, even though it's been scarred itself, scars can heal, and hopefully most sports will be able to come back. But I'm not sure around the world whether they'll all be able to come back, Trevor, because this pandemic is still spreading. It's still growing. It's still having an impact on sport, particularly in Europe at the moment.
Yes.
And what survives and what doesn't, we'll just have to wait and see.
So regarding the AFL Grand Final held in Brisbane at the Gabba, are you a Tiger fan?
No, I'm a Hawthorn supporter, the Hawks. So we've had our glory days, Trevor.
And so Cyril Rioli, we retired.
Part of it. And that might have been part of the reason why I wasn't so interested in the AFL. So the Tigers, no, they did really well. It was good as a Melbourne to see the Melbourne Storm get up in a pretty thrilling
Melbourne Storms
to the NRL on Sunday. So it's great, as we said, to see those events. So netball got its season through, soccer got its season through. Some of the ones that are
NBL was cancelled, wasn't it?
Yeah, the challenges that they've got are the indoor sports, Trevor, because the medicos tell us that the indoor has more problems. So outdoor sports got an advantage.
Okay, that's the reason
particularly non-contact sports. So we're seeing, if golf's your thing, or disc golf, or any of those sports that you can do outside without touching people, they've got an inherent advantage in terms of being played. Anytime you get to contact sport, anytime you get to indoor sport, there's an extra level of
duty of care,
start to come in. Yeah, so we'll see with the tennis this season. Thankfully, tennis can be played outdoors. The Grand Prix can be held outdoors. So some of those big events that we host have that particular kind of ability. But it's not just at the stadium, of course. It's getting people to and from the stadium as well that poses the challenges. So it's a logistical challenge as well as a sporting challenge.
Thanks for the heads up. Look, nice talking with you. All the best to you. You take care, Con, and we'll yarn soon.
It's a pleasure, Trevor.
Bye-bye. There is Deadly Yarn there. That's the Associate Professor, Con Stavros. He's from the RMIT Sports Marketing Expert, and just talking about sports and how it will be in the future. His statement there was, sport isn't fractured or bruised, it's scarred. So while scars can heal, they can also fester and cause further damage. That's the crossroad of where sports is right now. And he said it changes the so-called platform in regard to sponsors, in regard to money at the table, and for the elite sports people to get paid what they're supposed to get paid, TV rights, all the above. So it could change things as such, But a lot of people are now getting into, focus elsewhere, getting in their own individual fitness. We're talking about gyms and running and all that sort of stuff, So do what you need to do to look after that man, that woman in the mirror, you mob. So have you say Yarn Up Strong, National Talk Black. And got about 90 minutes left on the program. Ready for Yarn, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, we're in your band there. Proud young Arnhem Landman here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say your mob, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, yarn up with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Come to you live here from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. As I mentioned earlier, yeah, a number of leading commentators have taken aim at the NRL for backflipping on their decision to scrap the national anthem from the State of Origin, with Scott Morrison also under fire for his role in the reinstatement. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Dan Rennie on the line, station manager, BEMA, Brisbane Digital Media Association. DR, my brother, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Trent Trev. I'm good, brother. Thanks for having us, and I'd like to acknowledge all the mob up there.
To Daly, my brother. Thank you very much, brother. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, Larrakia mob from Darwin, but living in Murray Country for 30 years.
They adopted you there, damn their cuss.
Yeah, brother. Yeah, definitely Murray Country lad these days, but love getting back home. And
yes,
proud to call myself a Queenslander living in Murray Country.
Good, brother. You look, speaking of Queenslander, we've got the State of Origin coming up here very soon, happening next week. A number of leading commentators have taken aim at the NRL for backflipping on their decision to scrap the national anthem for the up-and-coming State of Origin. What's your take on the backflipping there, brother?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think the stance to come out and say, to announce it, for the reasons that it's not an international, you know, we saw the protests last year from our deadly strong brothers, Cody Walker, Blake Ferguson, and others,
Josh Adokar,
the Fox, the staunchness of those boys and Latrell Mitchell in the past as well. If they had come out and said something like, we find it offensive that a lot of our stars, our star athletes don't feel that the anthem represents them. They didn't do that. They came out and said that it should be reserved for internationals and grand finals and this, that, and the other, like a load of nonsense and a bit of smoke screen. So I think the intention to scrap the anthem in the first place wasn't for the right reasons. But the fact that the Prime Minister, the so-called leader of this country, decided it was his place to stick his nose into, is quite alarming. And it's pretty alarming, the swiftness the ScoMo sort of come around and done this. I've never seen him move so fast
exactly.
In his entire life, to be honest. But, it's also pleasing to see that, if he does put his mind to something, he can make change. So let's hope he does it for the things that actually affect people in this country, especially our old blackfellas.
Well, and we as First Nation people, when we look at it, we feel that the national anthem doesn't mention First Nation people. The Constitution doesn't say that. The dates are a wrong date in regarding celebration of Australians, so to speak. It's like the phrase we use is like us and the Jews to celebrate Holocaust Day, So there it is, a lot of conversations that need to be had, some changes, and change is the engine of growth is how I look at it, brother.
Well, politicians, for the most part, they're after the popularity vote. It's not popular to be supporting blackfellas. We're seen as outcasts in our own country. And for him to do that, he's fishing for that mainstream vote. Say, look what I can do. He's flexing his muscles. He's also probably stuck the boot into the NRL and say, hey, listen, remember, I was the one that helped your mob get going during COVID. I chucked a lot of bungu your way.
Yep, you owe me.
relaxations for flights and travel and this, that, and the other. So I think he pulled the Trump
rank.
Card.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
Pulled a Trump card. I like that, brother. And his toupee was swinging in the breeze, so to speak.
I think he is. I think he's going, look at me. And the fact that I've reached out to the NRL media manager, or as I'm referring to him now as the mission manager.
Mission manager?
Not willing to speak to black media. I rang this gentleman yesterday.
Yep.
Put my case forward. He said, what do you want? And I said, well, I'd like a comment from, one of the senior figures, if that would be possible. He said, we released a press statement and we had a press conference. What else do you want?
Thank you. That's white media.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get to the press conference. We don't have the resources of your Channel 9s and your Channel 7s and those types of things. How about 10 minutes for an issue that
help a brother out is what you're saying. Help a brother out.
Help a brother out. You know, and I did say that. And anyways, he's skirted around. He's basically dodging me now. So I tweeted out and just said, you know, no love for black media in this country when it's an issue that affects some of their biggest stars in the game, the ones that stand up there and won't sing it for the very reason that it doesn't represent our people or this country.
Yeah, well, you look at 2015. Yeah, two First Nation captains from Broncos and Cowboys playing a grand final. You know what I mean? JT and Justin Hodges. You know what I mean? So we have got elite sport athletes up there in the top shelf, so to speak. You know, and what you're saying in regarding the conversation there was kick it to me. You know, you there? Dan Rennie, lost you there, brother. We'll try, kick it to me, Dan Rennie. I kicked it to you, but you didn't kick back. We'll try and get him back. That's Dan Rennie there, station manager Beamer, and we're just talking about the backflipping of the NRL, making their decision to strap the national anthem. Should we just move on, focus on the sports, and don't bring politics into the array of things, into the arena of sports? But the Prime Minister, he jumped in the arena and said, no, we're not having that. We will have the national anthem. So we're just commenting on that, and you can have your say, whether yay or nay. Either way, we're all ears here and open for that conversation. You're there. Dan, kick it to me, I was saying.
No, I'm back. I think ScoMo was listening.
Thank you. That's right. Cut this conversation right now. He jumped into this conversation. Brother, look,
We see you can make things happen if he really wants to, if he chooses to, and if it's something that interests him. And obviously, you know, black fellows having their say is something that doesn't interest him.
Yeah, and look, and hats off to our brothers, the elite sports athletes they are, and business guys they are, you know, and work that they do and what they achieve in their sporting career. But they look at that as a platform to, well, okay, if I'm here, I need to speak up for my mob, and here it is, you know. So political arena, no, it's not, but... Yeah, that black skin is with you for the whole of your life, and if you've got an opportunity to speak up, then you use whatever tools available, yeah?
Yeah, well, look, you know, people do have that argument that the sporting field isn't the place for politics. Well, I'll argue, you know, the Black Power, the Black Panther salute in the Olympics, you know, way back when. Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, the great boxer, and all the wonderful things that that he did to enforce change. So I think sporting is a great opportunity for a point to get across. Colin Kaepernick, more recently, with the, you know, he was doing the Black Lives Matter thing before there was Black Lives Matter. So you know, he was a scapegoat, and I feel sorry for that lad because
they pushed him to the curb, did they?
Yeah, and then we see more recently with our own mob, Latrell Mitchell calling out trolls, Eddie Betts in the AFL, same thing. You know, we're at the point now where we're not going to stand for it any longer. And you know, this country needs to wake up to itself and realize we do live in a racist society. It starts with that anthem because it dismisses and discounts 65,000 plus years. It, you know, picks up 1788 when that white man came on his boat, the first boat person.
Exactly. And when they say that I'm not racist, but... that word "but" comes into the conversation, doesn't it?
I know black fellows.
Yes, I worked on community for 20 years. I know.
Yeah.
Brother, thank you for sharing. Looking all the best to your mob down that way. And thanks for the yarn, brother. And look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, Dan.
Yeah, much love to all the mob. Much love and respect to all of you at BBM. Love your work.
Too deadly, brother. Well, beautiful yarn there. Dan Rennie, station manager, Beamer, Brisbane Digital Media Association. And just some feedback in regarding the backflipping of the NRL's decision to strap the national anthem. And he's having his say, trying to get in touch with the people at NRL in regarding their conversation. But he missed the media outlet there, and they didn't want to have a bar of him in regard to that yarn. But there it is. That's what it is. Have you saying yarn up strong with about 8 minutes left here on the program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Hey, what you doing, your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Take away your name. At night, you are surrounded. Four dirty whitewashed walls. You listen to the water as he makes his nightly calls.
Yeah, that's Goulburn Jelly here, and Roger Knox here, Goulburn Jail, that is, and this Trendy Trev here, Murray, going to sign off you, Mob. Thank you very much for your company. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in the pandemic, you Mob. Do not be laxy-daisy. Too deadly.
Someone